You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to The Ice Guys, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a sports fan perspective. With pro handicappers Alex B. Smith, Andrew McKinnis, and Ian Cameron, and veteran sports writer Jimmy Murphy.
And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to The Ice Guys, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network, Tuesday, November 30th. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, and Jimmy Murphy. And we'll have Andrew McGinnis joining us shortly as well, ready to break down the Tuesday NHL card. We've got 8 games on tap, and we'll start it with the Washington Capitals taking on the Florida Panthers. We've got Florida minus 130, home favorites here, 6 the total in this game. Definitely lots of injury situations on both sides here to keep an eye on going into this game for the Panthers. Obviously, they've been playing for a while now without Alexander Barkov. Anthony Duclair as well has missed the last couple of games. But the Florida Panthers still, for the most part, you know, finding ways to win hockey games and playing good without Barkov until the last 2 games. And one of those losses came to this Washington Capitals team, 4-3 on Friday last week, losing to the Capitals. And then on Sunday, or rather a stunning turn of events, or Saturday rather, against the Seattle Kraken, the Panthers end up losing by a score of 4-1. So a rare situation for Florida where they're entering this game off back-to-back losses. We'll see if they respond here. That was also the first home loss of the year for Florida against Seattle on Saturday. So 11-1 now for the Panthers on home ice. On the flip side, the Capitals, man, I'm impressed with what they're doing. 8-2, their last 10, 3 straight victories, one of those being against Florida. And then they beat Carolina on the road over the weekend, 4-2. And they've done all of this without Connor Sheary. They've done it without TJ Oshie. They've done it without Nick Backstrom, who's been out for a while. Mantha's been out for a while. Justin Schultz on the blue line still battling an upper body injury as well. So it's definitely been an impressive run for the Capitals that they've been able to not only win games, but beat good teams without some key players, you know, in the lineup for them. So it speaks to volumes about, you know, Peter Laviolette and what he's been doing from a coaching standpoint and the buy-in and everybody stepping up throughout the lineup. That has clearly been on display here for the Washington Capitals in recent games. I mean, you look at their bottom 6 now. They've got, it's very thin, especially when you get down to the fourth line. I mean, even the third line now is Hagelin, Nick Dowd, and Garnett Hathaway. And then you get to this fourth line, you've got Beck Malinston, Michael Scarbosa, and Brett Leeson. So you're talking about, you know, really testing your depth up front with some of these injuries. And yet here's Washington, no problem. 3 straight wins and 6-2 in their last, or 6-2, yes, in their last 8 games. So it's been impressive here, this run by the Capitals as of late. It's a really tough game from a side perspective because I don't know if I love the prospects now. Florida off back-to-back losses, betting against them in this spot, especially after losing losing to Washington rather, 4-3 on Friday. I think I would lean Florida here certainly from a side perspective, but I'm going to talk about what I've talked about ad nauseum when the Capitals play the Panthers, and that's over, 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 over. I mean, it's really hard to deny it. When these two teams meet, the game just happens to be higher scoring and it goes over the total. It's hard to argue with facts and series history. 7 straight overs between these two teams. We saw 4-3 last Friday. I was on the over in that game. 5-1-1 to the over in the last 7 here in Florida between the Capitals and Panthers. So that's pretty much what I'm on here is the over and stick with what works. A strong series history that has pointed to one high scoring affair after another. So for me, it'll be Florida and Washington over 6 tonight in this game. Alex, what do you think here? Capitals, Panthers.
Isn't it funny how just 3-4 years ago, the only people who were watching Florida Panthers games at home are the people who were getting paid to work during it. And now all of a sudden they've won 23 of the last 27 games at home. They finally do suffer a loss there, but It's become a house of horrors for other teams. That's just you know how hockey works sometimes. And now they're playing a Washington team that they've always played tough. These two teams are long-standing rivals for years. No matter how bad or good Florida has been, they've always been able to kind of hang around with Washington. Four of the last seven games have gone to overtime. Of the three that didn't go to OT, two of them were decided by one goal. The last meeting, Washington got up to a lead, but Florida had plenty of chances. They made it a 4-3 game and had a ton of chances late to tie that game potentially. So I'm going to go with what I played with that same game. I'm going to go with the draw here at plus 325.
That's another series history type of bet. It really is. I mean, seven of the last eight head-to-head meetings, one-goal games, and many of those go into overtime or a shootout. So, yeah, that draw, and you can get it, of course, north of plus 300 with that. This is one of those games it might be worth it to look at that draw wager between the Capitals and Panthers. And again, series history kind of dictates that. Jimmy, what are your thoughts here, Washington, Florida?
Yeah, I'm right with you guys on goals, goals, goals in this game. These teams like to light the lamp against each other right now. And look, you brought up Washington and what they're doing right now. I think, he's a common name that we hear in the Hart Trophy race, but I think maybe more than ever, Alexander Ovechkin right now is more valuable to his team than he's ever been. It's insane. I mean, he is carrying that team right now. And I think Laviolette deserves some credit with the coaching he's doing, but what we're seeing from Alexander Ovechkin right now may be one of his best performances and accomplishments, just taking an injured, depleted team and really carrying them to some big wins and the top of the Metro Division early, in a division that I think we all agreed in the beginning was going to be the toughest one in the league, or maybe one of. So credit to them. And look, if I was going to do a side, I would go with the Capitals here, but I'm going to stick with the over in this one, guys, and I'm also going to take a first period over.
All right, first period and full game over. And again, seven straight with these teams over the total, head-to-head, Washington and Florida. I got to give credit to the Panthers defensemen, and obviously we know Barkov's out, but Verhaeghe, Bennett, Reinhart, guys like that have been outstanding for Florida during the absence of their captain, Barkov. And how about the defensemen? You talk about a defense that's not only improved in their own zone, clearly they've been one of the better teams in terms of defensive play, but in terms of chipping into the offense, it's amazing that they have three different defensemen here for the Florida Panthers, double digits in assists this year. Gustav Forsling, Mackenzie Weegar, and Aaron Ekblad, obviously, you know, he'd be on that list, but very impressive. This is a mobile, this is a very versatile blue line for the Florida Panthers that can play well in both sides of the puck, both ends of the ice, you know, offensively chip in, be sound in their own zone. So it's been impressive to see Florida operate with that blue line, much improved from years past. I think that's the difference maker with Florida now compared to maybe last year, 2-3 years ago. Just the evolving blue line that has continued to get better.
Ian, I just say too with Florida there, though, guys, keep an eye on this as a trend. I mean, last I checked, they were basically 500 since Quenneville had to resign. And you wonder how much, I agree with you on the defense there, but how much has the team defense suffered and their play through the neutral zones,
yep,
specifically the forwards getting back?
Yeah.
Just something Quenneville would harp on. And doesn't seem to be the case right now since Brunette took over. So Florida, I don't know if I can legit call them a bet-on team as much as we used to. I think there's something missing there, and whether that's they got to figure out who the right coach is and get him in there because maybe it's not Brunette, or whether the team leaders got to get together and get back to basics there. But they've been very sloppy through the neutral zone, and a team like Washington could burn them with that tonight.
Yeah, that's a good point there. And I'll just to confirm that what you're saying here for the season, the Florida Panthers 2.57 goals per game allowed. You parse out the last 10 games for Florida, 3.1 goals per game allowed. So there's a spike. Definitely.
Yeah.
When you talk about the shorter term, I mean, for the year, 2.57 goals against per game. That's right up there with, you know, some of the best teams in the NHL defensively. But the last 10 games, north of 3 goals per game allowed. So you definitely are
seeing, they'd be without the goalies. Yeah. This isn't on the goalies that this spike is going up. This is the team in front of them. So, you know, keep riding these overs with them, but be careful if you want to bet Florida.
Yeah, they're definitely not as good defensively, really. You can trace it back, I think, to, you're right, oddly enough, Coach Q having to, you know, forced into resigning pretty much. And then Andrew Brunette taking over. So there has been a little decline in terms of the goals against numbers for the Florida Panthers. So it'd be interesting to monitor that for sure moving forward. All right, Detroit, Boston. We've got Boston minus 220, home favorites, 5.5 the total in this game. The Boston Bruins, of course, we know Brad Marchand is out for this game for the Bruins. That is the headline news, suspension, three-game suspension. So he won't be eligible to be back until a December 8th game against the Vancouver Canucks. They're off a 3-2 win against the aforementioned Canucks in that performance on Sunday night. We'll see if they can keep it going here against Detroit. But I'm saying this right now, you take out Brad Marchand, and the plan B for Bruce Cassidy is going to be elevate Taylor Hall to the top line tonight alongside.
No, that would be for Joe Sacco. There is no Bruce Cassidy today.
That's right, for the COVID issue, right? He's got COVID-19. So this is a assistant or a coaching staff decision, I guess, especially Sacco, who's going to be the acting head coach tonight without Cassidy there. So it's going to be Taylor Hall with Pasternak and Bergeron on the top line. I don't mind that. And like Taylor Hall can fit onto that line nicely, but here's the issue. The issue is what are you going to get from the third and the fourth line? Charlie Coyle, to his credit, has stepped up. And Craig Smith, you know, being back is going to help the second line a little bit with Foligno. But my gosh, what are you going to get from the third and the fourth line for Boston offensively? I mean, it just thins out the lineup without Marchand tonight, putting Hall on the top line. And he's probably the right choice, but now what are you going to get? If you don't have Coyle and Smith, who have shown you a little life offensively lately going tonight, what the hell are you going to get outside of the top line right now for the Boston Bruins? And it fits like a glove, and it's exact direct, you know, result in the stuff we're seeing off the ice now with DeBrusk. You know, Jake DeBrusk is one of those guys that the Boston Bruins have just said, we need you as depth scoring on this hockey team. We need you in that role. And he just hasn't been able to step up in that role consistently. And as of the current line combinations at morning skate, you got DeBrusk with Haula and Lazar right now on the fourth line going into this game tonight. And of course, the rumblings that, and his agents mentioned it publicly, he wants out. They want to engineer a trade. And now there is a trade market opening up for Jake DeBrusk. So, you know, there's all kinds of issues right now for Boston. And I'm looking at this price here, minus 200 against this Detroit team that all they do is work their ass off and try hard and battle teams. And they've actually won two in a row against St. Louis and Buffalo. I'll tell you what, the St. Louis victory was impressive. And I know Buffalo's been not very good lately, but still got a 3-2 win in overtime in that game. You look at before that, they had a tough road trip, but played Vegas, played Dallas, who have played better hockey lately during that little skid the Red Wings have had. So this is definitely not a spot I'm looking to lay minus 200. In fact, I'm going to bet small Detroit here at plus 190 in this price range. I just think with everything that's going around right now with the Bruins, we know consistency has been an issue. Now, I did say on the weekend, you know, when they play after they lost to the Rangers, that they lose to the good teams and they beat the bad teams. And so that would have you thinking maybe they beat Detroit tonight. And obviously they're favored big time to do so. But with all the issues swirling right now with Detroit now, two wins in a row, after a little bit of a slump themselves, I think you could do much worse than take a small flyer at the very least here with the Detroit Red Wings here at a big plus price, almost getting plus 200 in this game. And that's precisely what I'm going to do. Alex, what do you think here? Red Wings, Bruins.
Yeah, I mean, no way I'm taking that price as the Bruins, but I would go and play Detroit first period money line at plus 165. So just a little bit safer because Detroit has struggled against Boston over the years. They've lost 14 of the last 17 meetings between the two clubs. And obviously, you know, if we're going to see any kind of positive impact with, you know, the next man up mentality with Marchand being out, it would be in this first game. Now they might feel that a little bit later in those two and three games. I messaged Jimmy last night, and I've been actively lobbying for this. You got Jake DeBrusk, who's been scratched. In Chicago, you got Dylan Strome, who's been scratched, a guy who could definitely would be a great fit right now to fill in that top role or second role because he's been getting these horrible fourth line minutes and doing nothing in Chicago. Those two need to be traded immediately for each other, in my opinion. So that's something that hopefully maybe the GMs can get get that together and make that happen. But I would look for Detroit first period money line. That's the only thing I would play it. Don't like anything with the total.
All right, Detroit first period here for Alex with the Red Wings and the Bruins. And I like Lucas Raymond goal scorer prop tonight in this game for the Detroit Red Wings. We know this hasn't been the same shutdown, lockdown Bruin defense and blue line. We've talked about this just incessantly all year, all three of us, especially Jimmy and I, that it's not been the same Bruin blue line defense in front of their goaltending this year. And Lucas Raymond, he is one of those offensive dynamos right now for the Red Wings. Points in three straight games, goals in two straight games, four shots on goal in the last two games. So the 19-year-old right winger for the Red Wings, Lucas Raymond, goal scorer prop. I'm going to bet that here in this game tonight as well. Jimmy, what do you think here, Red Wings, Bruins?
Well, what I think, guys, one thing I'll note, too, just to keep an eye on with the Bruins, not just tonight. I mean, the reason Jake DeBrusk is back in the lineup is because of what's going on in Providence. Providence has had to shut down operations in the AHL right now. They have 11 players and coaches on COVID protocol. And you have to think with some recent call-ups.
It's filtered through to the parent club. Yeah,
it's kind of filtered through it. And Cassidy's the perfect example. So there's something coming. There's likely an outbreak coming with the Boston Bruins. And I think the Bruins, for the remainder of the week, with the turmoil that they all of a sudden, look, I'm not going to compare it to the Montreal Canadiens, but they've had a heck of a 24 hours. I mean, Brad Marchand suspended three games, Jake DeBrusk requests a trade, and your coach goes on COVID with likely more COVID issues to come. They become, to me, a bet against team for the rest of this week, at least until Marchand returns, because we're going to see now, you know, too many people around the NHL are hopping on Marchand and a suspension and still calling him a dirty player. And by the way, I think that suspension was complete fucking bullshit. Excuse my French. But I mean, look, was it a slew foot? That's to be argued. Yeah, I lean towards the yes on it. But how can you let PK Subban get away with three of those and only fines, not even a hearing? Right. And then turn around and do
because
this.
Because of who the perpetrator was.
That's because there's a bias against Brad Marchand, and he doesn't get the respect he deserves. He's the MVP of the Boston Bruins, and you're going to see it the next three games when I predict that they lose all three. I'm on the Detroit Red Wings on the money line, and I'm going to ride against the Bruins for the rest of the week. They are a mess right now. The only thing I would look at in terms of goal props on the Bruins side, I like your Raymond pick on Detroit, but with the Bruins side, I mean, hey, Jake, if you want out and you want to get traded soon, this is your chance. He's in there only because of that COVID outbreak. If they were able to call people up, he would have been sitting in the press box. But he now gets the opportunity to instantly increase his trade value and sell himself to scouts. And I'll tell you, there was 13 scouts there in the last game on Sunday. There's going to be plenty more tonight. This is his chance. So maybe a goal scoring prop for Jake DeBrusk at plus 400, I'm seeing, would be a smart move.
There we go. Sometimes this is the night where Jake does do something, you know, when he's basically been ridiculed publicly and, you know, he's benched a healthy scratch the other night. And we've seen this before. He has scored in these spots before, Jimmy. We've seen this from Jake, you know, when he's all of a sudden reprimanded or benched and then he comes back in and he scored. So it's not the worst spot in the world, especially to take a price like that. And you can get Lucas Raymond around plus 300 in most spots. So a very good price there as well for Raymond of the Red Wings.
Yeah, and you know, guys, too, great point by you that he does respond. The problem is he'll respond tonight, but then he'll go 10 games without scoring.
That's right.
He does that one game response, and then that's it. You know, he thinks that's enough. Look, I love the kid. I think he's a great kid, and I wish him nothing but the best. But in my opinion, he is where he is because of himself. And I guess you could say because Don Sweeney's an idiot and drafted him ahead of Mathieu Barzal, but that's a whole different story.
I'll say this too about this would be a good time, you know, to have a chat with your old man if you're Jake Louie. What am I doing wrong? And what can I help? Where, you know, talk to a guy that played in the league and, you know, maybe get some advice from Popsy there and see.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with Bruce Cassidy's just, you know, how forthright he was talking about
his blunt assessment.
Blunt assessment saying, you know what, when things are going for him, he's great. But when the puck's not going in for him, he stops working. The work ethic's not the same. He's not doing the things away from the puck that he should be doing in terms of defensive responsibility and defensive principles and all that kind of thing. You know, laying the body, being a physical presence, just those extra intangible things to help a hockey team. They go away for Jake DeBrusk when he's not getting the offense to go in for him. And I thought Bruce Cassidy saying that was just, and that's the thing. It's just about, you can't be so mentally weak that in this spot, you got to keep playing that same way, all both ends of the ice, doing the other things. You do the other things when you're scoring. You do the other things when you're not scoring too, because they help you. They help you. They help you become a better team, and they help you become a better player. And I thought Bruce mentioning that was pretty telling.
Yeah, circle back to Marchand though, guys. I mean, how did Marchand get to where he is right now and become the star he is? It's exactly, he did exactly what you just said. He didn't sulk. He just kept working. He figured out ways to get around his size, you know, deficiency there, we'll say. He's a small guy. He figured out how to do it, and he played two-way hockey. And obviously, he had one of the best guys mentoring him in Patrice Bergeron. But, you know, why is DeBrus not trying to learn from them? Why is he not applying what he can see every day in practice there on a more consistent basis? And I just – you know, look, I don't know whether it's just a generational thing, but it seems a lot of players, the younger generation right now, thinks, oh, well, it's not going well here. I'll just request a trade. Because somehow it's just, you know, where he goes is going to make him have a better work ethic. No, what's going to make him have a better work ethic is him. And that's not going to change until Jake DeBrus decides it changes.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds in terms of the pending trade that will eventually.
Obviously, I'm with Alex. Make that trade happen.
Make it happen. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. I think that, I could also see him going to Seattle, though, guys. Keep an eye on that because
yeah, I've heard Ron that too.
Yeah, Ron Francis was at the game the other day.
And Appleton the other way is what I'm hearing, that they're
Talking that. And then speaking of Stroms, his brother's available in the Rangers too. So maybe it could be a Strom for DeBrusque coming from New York too. So we'll see.
Yep. Roland in our chat. Yeah, I would never say don't bet Dylan Larkin to score a goal in a Detroit game. He's obviously one of the captain, one of the guys you would count on for offense. So I don't hate that, Roland liking Dylan Larkin to light the lamp tonight for Detroit. All right, next game up is San Jose and New Jersey. We've got New Jersey -135 to -140, home favorites, 5.5 the total in this one. Jack Hughes back for the New Jersey Devils, the big story going into this game. Obviously, he's missed a lot of time due to that shoulder injury, dislocated left shoulder, has kept him out for a long period of time. He's back tonight for the Devils. Obviously, that's a huge boost for them going into this game against the San Jose Sharks, a 5-2 win for the Devils on Sunday night against the Philadelphia Flyers. I was able to cash a best bet on the show with the over in that Devils Flyers game on Sunday night. I would lean over here, but be careful with that and be careful with New Jersey. I know people see Jack Hughes is back. We got to bet New Jersey here, and they've done that. The betting markets have pushed this up from -120 to -140. But a lot of times we saw this with Pittsburgh. They got Crosby back. They didn't win that first game with him back. We've seen this a lot with, you know, just this assumption that they get the star player, the best forward back, and it's an automatic W. It does not work that way. And I don't want to disrespect San Jose and what they've done, particularly what they've done on the road. They've been, you know, at times a solid road team this year, the San Jose Sharks. They have a winning record, 6-5 away from home this year, San Jose. They've got James Reimer in net, who didn't have a good game against Toronto last Friday night, but that was more the Leafs just with their skill and their talent, and they're rolling right now, and they got the Devils running around in their own zone. And I thought that was more the team was shit in front of James Reimer that night than that James Reimer was bad in net against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And sure enough, Bob Budner said, don't worry, we just needed to give him a rest, give him a break. They didn't play well in front of Reimer against Toronto. We're putting him right back in net against Chicago on Sunday night. And what happens? He blanks the Blackhawks in that game 2-0, a much better performance from the whole entire team, not just James Reimer in net defensively. And on the road, we've sort of seen San Jose adopt this tighter checking, you know, really try to win lower scoring games and take care of our own end first, especially when they're on the road. So that's why my lean to the over is probably just going to stay that way, a lean. And look, I understand Jack Hughes being back is significant, but now at -140, I'm not going to take New Jersey at that price. So it's a game I'm going to end up on the sidelines and passing. Alex, what do you think here? Sharks, Devil.
Yeah, there's better spots on the board tonight, so I don't have really much of anything to say about this game. Obviously, watching to see how Hughes performed the first game back will be big, but other than that, this is a pass for me.
All right, Jimmy, anything for you? San Jose, New Jersey.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm kind of interested in this game. I mean, I wouldn't have thought, you know, coming into the season that on whatever date it is, now November 30th, you know, I would – want to maybe switch the channel sometimes during the intermissions or the commercial breaks on the Bruins game to watch the San Jose Sharks and the New Jersey Devils, but credit to them. They played some exciting hockey, and both teams are kind of overachieving here. And I think we could be in for a good game here, guys. I like the over in this, and I'm going to take the Devils on the money line as well.
All right, liking the Devils and liking the over. Again, that's where I lean, side and total, but I always don't love that feeling of the automatic, you know, that it's an automatic with the with one of your best players coming back. But we'll see here What if the Devils, they should get a boost. We'll see if they can get the win. But really for the Devils, what's been good is they've had Andreas Janssen and among others really step up offensively during the time without Jack Hughes. You know, Dougie Hamilton's been scoring goals from the blue line. We've talked about Dawson Mercer a bunch. Jesper Bratt has been pretty good lately as well for the Devils. So that's been the key, is they've had other sources contributing in Jack Hughes' absence. All right, next game is Columbus-Nashville. We've got Nashville minus 155 home favorites, 5.5 the total in this game. The Blue Jackets, you know, there's another one of your surprise teams, 12-7 the Blue Jackets this season, although they did fall to the St. Louis Blues 6-3 in their last game. But prior to that, they had won 5 of 6, beating Detroit, Arizona, Buffalo, Winnipeg, Vancouver. Now, one concern is not a lot of great teams in that list of victories for Columbus, but still, you play who's on your schedule, and the Jackets have played well during that span. They're the youngest team in the NHL. Very interesting, Columbus, that nobody's younger than them in terms of the roster, top to bottom in the NHL, but definitely a team that, you know, with that youth and that I find with the fact they're the youngest team, but they've got a lot more speed. They've got a lot more offensive instincts now, and it has really shown throughout their lineup with what they've been able to get offensively as of late. You know, Oliver Bjorkstrand's been very, very good for the Blue Jackets as of late for them, you know, in terms of scoring goals. After an early season slump, Jack Roslovic has been pretty solid for them offensively lately. Of course, Voracek, Jenner, they've had different guys stepping up now most nights for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and I've been impressed with them offensively. You look at the last four games, they've scored 3 goals or more in all 4 games, and they have tallied 20 goals in the last 4 games combined, this Columbus Blue Jackets team. So I'm impressed with what I'm seeing from them. Nashville's kind of going the other way. I was waiting for this to happen, just licking my chops, just chomping at the bit, waiting for Nashville to finally regress, because I'm like, there's no way this freaking team is keeping that up the way they were, you know, early in the season, October into early November. Well, now they're just 2-4 in their last 6 games. Definitely struggling a bit more at this point in time. Now, granted, Toronto, Vegas, and Colorado, 3 good teams for some of those losses, but you're starting to see Nashville come back to the pack just a little bit going into this game here against the Columbus Blue Jackets. When I look at this matchup here, I think you could do worse than take a shot with the Jackets here on the road as an underdog plus 140. And look, from a totals perspective, believe it or not, we got to look at Columbus as just this over machine at the moment, 10-2 in their last 12 games to the over. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. You would not expect that from Columbus, yet here we are. And you look at series history between these two teams, 11 of the last 16 have gone over the total. So that's what I'm on as well, over 5.5 and a shot with the Jackets here as road underdogs. Alex, what do you think here, Columbus, Nashville?
Yeah, same kind of thought process. I'm going with the over 5.5. That's something you've been cashing left and right with Columbus, 10-2 the last 12, including 5 of the last 6 on the road. So this is definitely a spot where in Nashville, you know, like I said, it's one of those environments where, you know, a team can come in and you know, you can feed off of the crowd or let the crowd take you out of it. I think they're going to feed off of that crowd. So we'll see some back and forth goals. Nashville's finally getting some consistency of offense going to time. So 5.5, that's a decent price. I'm going to go over.
Yeah, don't look now. They're actually 6-3 to the over in their last 9 games, the Nashville Predators. So, and again, Duchesne, we've criticized Duchesne, but Duchesne's been really good of late for the Nashville Predators. He's been, you know, back to the Duchesne, at least signs of the Duchesne that we've seen in the past with Colorado in particular, way back early in his career. But he's been a lot better and much more of an impact force for the Nashville Predators at the offensive end of the ice. Jimmy, what are your thoughts here, Columbus-Nashville?
This is one of those games that I don't have a feel on, guys. But if I was looking at it, I would look at a first period over for sure.
All right, we move on to Tampa Bay and St. Louis here. St. Louis minus 130. Home favorites here, 5.5 the total in this game, Lightning and Blues. The Lightning coming off a 4-2 loss to the Minnesota Wild on the weekend. We'll see if they can bounce back here. And I bet the over in that game it cashed, and I lean Minnesota. I didn't bet it, but I should have. I mean, I thought it was a pretty good situation for Minnesota. They had just lost in a shootout recently to Tampa Bay down in Tampa, and a situation where now Minnesota back home, they got the job done 4-2 against Tampa. All of a sudden, here's Tampa Bay. They've gone over a little bit, 3-2 4-2 to the over in their last six games. We'll see if that continues here against St. Louis. They are off a 6-3 win against Columbus. But here's a St. Louis team, guys, right now that I simply really am not willing to trust here, you know, to win two games in a row. They've kind of got that Montreal Canadiens syndrome. And we saw it again with the Habs last night, totally and utterly incapable of winning two games in a row. And we're kind of seeing that with St. Louis. They've lately it's been they have that good performance and then they just stub their toe and take two steps backward in the very next game. So difficult for me to lay a price here with St. Louis, given that track record here. But the one thing you have to keep in mind is that the Blues have actually played the Lightning very well of late. Four straight head-to-head victories for the St. Louis Blues over the Tampa Bay Lightning. So we'll see if that continues. Lightning just 1-7 in their last eight games here in St. Louis. That does concern me. And it does concern me, too, that not that Brian Elliott isn't capable, and he is facing a team that he used to play for, but obviously Andre Vasilevsky, he is not in between the pipes for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that would concern me here. I will bet over 5.5. That's probably the stance that I like the most here in this game rather than either side. So for me, it would probably be a look toward Lightning Blues over 5.5 in this one. Alex, what do you think? Tampa, St. Louis.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting spot because you got a Tampa Bay team coming off of a loss. It was a flat spot against Minnesota, something that we've historically tracked. I don't think they're going to have nearly as good of a time in waiting in St. Louis like they did in Minnesota. So with that being said, I'm looking at Tampa Bay here. They're a great team to back off of a loss. Playing a Blues team that has actually lost six straight off of a win. Like you said, the inconsistency for the Blues continues. And also with Brian Elliott in net going against his old team, he's actually done pretty well, 6-2 with a 2.9 goals against average in eight starts against the Blues. So we're getting a plus price now. It was pick 'em, you know, about maybe a couple hours before the show. I'm going to take the plus money with Tampa Bay, and I'm also going to go first period over 1.5 minus $1.15. I think we'll see some goals scored early.
All right, so the first period over 1.5 here, Lightning Blues and also Tampa Bay. You can get them at +110 to +115 right now. Slight road underdogs in this game. And I'm with you. I would only lean Tampa. I would only look to Tampa Bay from a side perspective here. I'm not going to bet it, but I do lean Tampa Bay here. I definitely would trust them off a loss more than, as you mentioned, Blues off a win where they just haven't been good, stringing back-to-back quality performances together as of late. Jimmy, what do you think here, Lightning Blues?
I'm with Alex on this, and I'm going to take it a step further. I like the Tampa Bay Lightning in regulation to give me a little more value there. I think they take care of business here. Just a better team in my eyes.
Yeah, +155 to +160 with that in regulation bet for the Tampa Bay Lightning here in this game. So definitely getting pretty solid value with that one. And there's a couple things I wanted to mention here. I was just about to say there is one player I wanted to mention here for the St. Louis Blues, just because of how insane the goal scoring clip has been for him throughout most of the year. And now he's definitely firing the shots like you wouldn't believe on goal. Hasn't gone in as well lately, but he finally got back on the score sheet against Columbus with a goal. And that's Jordan Kyrou of the St. Louis Blues. So there's a goal scorer prop potentially to look at here from a St. Louis standpoint in this game tonight between those two teams. By the way, I wanted to mention one for the Nashville game. I forgot to earlier. Elli Tolvanen for Nashville. This guy is one of those products of someone that's getting a million shots on goal. Of course, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. He's getting just a ton of shots on goal, a ton of chances, and the puck is just not going in for him. We know that at times last year for Nashville, he was one of their best forwards. He was one of their most consistent offensive producers last year for a while. So I think at some point, the dam is going to burst here for Elli Tolvanen. He's going to find his way onto the score sheet again. I know it's been a rough, you know, goalless stretch. I'm not saying tonight you for sure bet his prop, but keep an eye on it. I mean, when you're firing 3, 4, 6, 3, 2 shots on goal like he has in the last few games and the puck's not going in for you and you do have talent like he does, eventually at some point, you know, the puck's going to go in for you. So, you know, just keep an eye, something to look at betting. But I think the moment he scores, then you really bet it because you know what it's like with those, you know, upper echelon players and those guys with great skill and ability. Yep. When they finally snap the goal drought, then they go on a little bit of a run and the goals start to come in bunches. You might see that for Tolvanen with Nashville once he finally gets out of that slump. So keep an eye on that for sure. All right, next up, we've got Arizona and Minnesota. Minnesota -360. Home favorites, 5.5 the total, 6 in some spots. So make sure you shop around because that total is a split line based on what book you're looking at. Right now, it's a bit of a hazard to lay -360 with anyone against Arizona at the moment. This team is playing more competitive hockey. They've played a lot of one-goal games lately. And sure enough, thanks to the absolute heroics of Kirill Vemelka last night for the Arizona Coyotes, they stun the Winnipeg Jets by a score of 1-0 in that game. He was absolutely remarkable in between the pipes for the Arizona Coyotes last night. Just to put his performance in proper perspective and what we saw last night, and because he was terrific in that game for the Coyotes. The Jets had a 39-13 edge in shots on goal, 27-9 scoring chances in favor of the Jets. Oh, and expected goals in the game, 3.2 for Winnipeg, 1.01 for Arizona. It was just absolutely ugly. Amen. That tells you, when you look at those three numbers, you're like, how did the Jets not win that game 5-1 or something?
Yeah.
And sure enough, they end up losing 1-0. But props to Vemelka. He played well. The puck just wasn't going in for Winnipeg. Arizona even blocked a lot of shots. They hit a post or two. There were a couple chances that, you know, there was stopped in for great saves by the goalie. There were pucks that were lying in the crease that, you know, they tried to jam it in and they just couldn't get it through. I mean, it was just everything but score for the Winnipeg Jets. But credit to Arizona. And at the end of the day, they are playing better, more competitive hockey. But this is definitely a troubling spot. You got to believe it. Back-to-back on the road, going to a rested Minnesota team that plays very well here on home ice here at the XL Energy Center. And like I said on Sunday's show, the offense has been excelling, you know, in their home venue, for the Minnesota Wild. It continues to be that way. I mean, this team is just an offensive dynamo on home ice this year. You look at overall 3.62 goals for this year for the Minnesota Wild, 3.6 goals per game. But you flesh it out and you look at just the home numbers, 4.56 goals per game on average for the Minnesota Wild at home this year. Just a remarkable run for the Minnesota Wild offensively. And it's translated in totals for Minnesota on home ice. It's one of the best bets going, seriously, in the NHL right now. Minnesota overs on home ice, 8-1 to the over this year for the Minnesota Wild on home ice. You got to believe that's where I'm going. In this game, I was on it with Tampa on Sunday in Minnesota, and we're going to ride it once again here. Again, 8-1 to the over, and I think I've probably cashed 6 or 7 of those 8 overs this year with Minnesota on home ice. I've been on a bunch of them. So for me, it's Coyotes Wild over 5.5, and I'll give you 2 goal score props. The resident Wild fan, Terry Edelman, is on to it. Ryan Hartman to score a goal, absolutely. He's feeling it right now for the Wild, and Fiala as well. Because this is someone that should be seeing the puck start to go in for him. I mean, the chances he's getting are insane. 69 shots on goal, 21 games this year, 15 points in 21 games. You know, and Coyotes still, even after the shutout last night, they're bottom-tier defensive team for the year in terms of goals against. So I think for Fiala, kind of like with Tolvanen in Nashville, the puck's going to go in for him sooner or later. Got to be tonight, maybe. Arizona team, back-to-back on the road, tired defense. Probably Wedgwood in net after Vemelka was in last night. So I think this could be a good night to maybe look at some goal score props. And another thing that helps the over, Kaapo Kähkönen in net for the Minnesota Wild tonight. And I'm not a big fan of his play. It hasn't really been great since the second half of last year. 3.31 goals against, 870 save percentage this year. Those aren't the kind of numbers you like. So I think we go over the total here with the Coyotes and Wild. Alex, Arizona, Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm all over the over in this. I grabbed small because I thought it was odd to see 6 this morning. I saw over 6 at even money. So I grabbed it, but I played it small because I figured the 5.5 would pop up. It did. Popped up -$1.25. I hammered that, and then it went right back up to 6. So I got, you know, opinions for both. I like it to go way over both totals. I like the first period over. I got that -$1.15. Somebody was mentioning about the team total. Obviously, you'd have to lay like north of 140 or 150, I would wait and get that adjusted in game. You may not have a lot of time for that because the Wild do kind of score pretty fast at home. So in the same way, you'd wait for a first period over to come down a little bit, maybe wait a couple minutes, wait for that first whistle and grab the team total over. But look at what this is, just the last 9 Minnesota wins against Arizona. So they're 9-1 the last 10 meetings. 5-2 win that was about a month ago in Arizona. 4-1 Minnesota. 5-2 Minnesota. 5-2 Minnesota. 3-0 Minnesota. 4-1 Minnesota. 4-0 Minnesota. 5-1 and 8-5. All those wins have come by exactly 3 goals or more. You wanted to take that prop, you can get plus 275 at a place offshore. I don't know if it's going to be exactly 3 goals, but I think the moral of the story here is that Arizona, after giving up 46 shots and having the performance of a lifetime by Vemelka, they give up 40, 45 shots and get outshot by a 3-1 margin here. It's going to be all wild all night long. So Minnesota should take care of business, and I like the over full game, and I like the over in the first period.
I'm looking at it because, look, I'm looking at the puck, and it sounds like you're setting up Jimmy Puck line here for Jimmy on a tee for this game with all those stats you mentioned, all these wins by margin for the Minnesota Wild. The problem is the puck line for Minnesota is -1.5, -140 in this game. It's not the greatest price, but I'm looking at it, Alex, and I'm seeing a three-goal win, a three-goal win, a three-goal win. Why don't you try -2.5? You know, go a step further. This could be a night to give that a shot. Minnesota -2.5 here in this one. And I'll bring up the price of that right now for everybody listening and watching. That would be -2.5 +125. So there you go. You finally turn a puck line into a plus price, and it takes -2.5 goals to do it. So I might add that Minnesota -2. It does feel like a smackdown spot, to be honest. And the dam bursting for Arizona after they could have easily, you know, as you mentioned, given up 4 or 5 goals last night against the Winnipeg Jets in that game. What do you think here, Jimmy? Arizona, Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, that puck line just doesn't have enough value for me to take there. But I'm with you guys. Give me the first period over and the over total.
All right, first period and full game over for Jimmy in that
one. You know what? I'm going to throw one more in there. Give me the over on the team total for Minnesota as well.
All right, that one, by the way, is 3.5 at -140 to -150. Got to lay a little juice, but
I would say, yeah, you could, but you, like I said, you could find that adjusted in game too if you don't want to lay a 150. That nice. Will drop down to about 125 or something, and if you wait maybe 3 minutes into the game.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's definitely something you can do. And again, just like with all of these bets involving totals and especially period totals, we've talked about it, in-game totals, whatever the case may be. You know, you wait for those first 5 minutes of a period, and if you can at least get through that without any action, without any goals being scored, it's amazing the better price you can get. It really is. I mean, it's just a couple of minutes is all it takes, and you can get a much better price, certainly with those live in-game wagers. All right, before we get to the last two games on this Tuesday card, I will talk to you about DraftKings, or of course, great partners here at the Ice Guys and THPN. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You'll be a winner with a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If DraftKings Sportsbook isn't available in your state, you can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And, of course, the NHL as well. Must be 21 years of age or older. Must reside in a DraftKings Sportsbook state. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Download the DraftKings app now. Sign up for an account and use the promo code THPN. All right, next up, we've got Carolina and Dallas. Dallas has actually moved toward being the slight home favorite here, -110 to -115, the total 5.5 here in this one. The Dallas Stars, I'm going to give them a lot of credit for the playing well. They're playing their best hockey of the season, bar none. It's not even debatable. It's been a good stretch, 6-1 in their last 7 games. This team has now won 5 consecutive games on home ice. So they've turned it around and they've played some much better hockey, Dallas. And really it all started with that whole, you know, just this feeling of the team was things were falling apart. They had the players only meeting. Rick Bowness, the head coach, addresses the media and says, everybody relax. We know what the problem is. We're going to fix it. And really, it was from that moment where you traced it back to this little surge that the Dallas Stars are on, and they've played a lot better. Rupe Hintz has been outstanding, 11 points in the last nine games for him. Of course, Ben and Sagan, it's amazing. Those guys decide to play, you know, and those guys decide to show up. It's amazing how much better of a hockey team the Dallas Stars become. And you would think, geez, this looks like a steal on Carolina. But before you say that, this team's banged up on the blue line right now, really significantly. And that's the concern. And I think it's hampering them a little bit. You know, you look at these last few games here for Carolina, especially the last couple they've played, you know, they've given up seven goals in their last two games combined, 3.5 on average per game against the Flyers and in the loss against the Capitals at home on Sunday. And now that's three losses in the last four games for Carolina. And it's a team that going into this game is without multiple defensemen. D'Angelo is out. Brett Pesce is out. And of course, Ethan Bear is out due to COVID-19 issues as well. So it's just all kinds of key absences right now due to COVID-19. And Brett Pesce, reliable. D'Angelo is a little bit more of a wild card, but certainly, and Ethan Bear was playing well before his absence. So you suddenly look at the back end for the Carolina Hurricanes on defense going into this game, and it becomes a lot more patchwork. I mean, once you get beyond the great top pair that they have of Jacob Slavin and Ian Cole, Brady Shea, and then all of a sudden you got a lot of youth in the bottom two pairings. In fact, Jalen Chatfield, Max Lajoie, in terms of the 5-6 defenseman, Brendan Smith's had to come in the lineup, the veteran, because of the injuries on the blue line. So there are some concerns here with Carolina on the blue line, and we've seen them start to give up a few more goals. And I'll say this for Dallas. A big reason why they're winning more games, too, is because the offense is seeing the puck go in the net. For the Dallas Stars, their last five home games, 3-4, 4-5, and 5. Their last four games overall, 3 goals or more. So I'm going to do a Dallas Stars team total over 2.5 in this game. Something a little bit different. I think that's where the value is. I don't want to take Dallas money line. I have too much respect for Carolina as a hockey team, especially at a price now where they're a slight road underdog to actually take Dallas on the money line. I feel more comfortable where I think we can get 3 goals out of Dallas. They've been scoring 3 goals routinely lately, and I don't have to worry about Carolina winning the game or Dallas winning the game. I can just focus on the depleted Carolina blue line right now and a Dallas team that offensively has played better lately and scored 3 goals or more in the majority of their games. So that's what I'm going to go with in this game. We'll take Dallas team total over 2.5. You can get that in the minus. We got to lay a little bit of a price, minus 145. But I think it's a good chance you can see 3 goals tonight from the home team. Alex, what do you think here? Hurricanes and Stars.
Yeah, I totally understand you, you know, laying the bigger price and playing a little safe with the 3.5 over. But I'm going to go with Dallas here on the money line. I got a -$1.10. You can find $1.05 pretty much everywhere. I think this is going to be a good spot for Dallas. They're in good form, playing against a Carolina team that's not in the best form. And they've had some crazy travel as of late, too. That whole, you know, they were on the West Coast. Then they bounce all the way across to play Philly at the end of the road trip. They do get the win there, but then they come back home, lose to Washington 4-2. Now they're missing some defensemen. They're having, you know, basically the COVID cluster injuries with that blue line now. So, like I said, they're depleted on the back end. Dallas finally is finding some offense and playing well at home. I think this would be I don't think I've bet on Dallas money line all year long, but this will be the first time I do it. So I'm going to play it at a pick'em price.
All right, like in Dallas here on the money line. Yeah, I think you're right, tricky spot. You think about the West Coast travel, and then you go to Philly, then you go home, and now you're going on the road again. You have that one home game, you're back on the road again if you're Carolina here. So it has been a rigorous travel schedule lately for the Carolina Hurricanes. Michael makes a great point in our chat about that Minnesota game. The combo bet, I've done this with Florida earlier in the season, Florida and over 5.5. If Florida wins and the game goes over 5.5, we cashed, and we had a couple of those where you were able to win that way. Michael in our chat saying Minnesota to win and over 5.5 against Arizona is also a good combination bet, and you can get that at a plus price in most books. I'm going to see the book that I usually bet that at. Plus 120, plus 125, you're right, in that range. Minnesota to win and over 5.5 against Arizona at a plus price. That's terrific. I'm putting that on the card. That's value right there, because I definitely think Minnesota's winning. And we mentioned the 8-1 to the over on home ice, and it's only 5.5. So that's a terrific combination bet. That is terrific value. Win or lose, that's terrific value. Minnesota to win and over 5.5, +120 to +125 against Arizona. That is phenomenal value in my mind. Phenomenal. Good find, Michael, in our chat here. Jimmy, what do you think here with this one? Carolina, Dallas.
Yeah, I'm with Alex here. Makes some great points. Both you guys are right now. It's a great spot for Dallas right now. So I'm going to take them on the money line as well. And I'm actually going to do the over in the first period with this one as well. I see them jumping all over that depleted defense very fast in that first period.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was disappointed too. Another thing that why I decided team total instead of with Dallas instead of the money line with them is because of Braden Holtby being in net. I want Ottinger in net when I back Dallas more than anything.
Yeah. I thought about that too. I wanted Ottinger because that's the thing I've been talking about the last couple of days. I mentioned it with Buffalo, but if there's ever a time where there should be listed goalies, it should be Dallas because they're carrying three of them right now. But I look at Holtby's numbers against Carolina, and I posted in the chat, not that bad. 16-7-1 with a 2.15 goals against, .931 save percentage, and 2 shutouts. Of course, he's familiar playing that Carolina team over the years with his days in Washington. So it's not exactly the worst goalie swap in the world. I'd feel more comfortable with Holtby than I do Khudobin right now, but I'd rather have Ottinger than both of those guys as well.
Yeah, and he's been better lately, Holtby. I'll say that. He struggled early on, but actually 2.54 in his last 8 starts, so he's been better. He's trended in better form, and that's no disrespect to Holtby, and like a solid option still. But man, I think with this young kid Ottinger playing the way he's played for the Stars, you got to keep playing him. I mean, 1.26 goals against average, .959 save percentage. His last start against Colorado on Friday, that 3-1 win against the Avalanche, he was magnificent, Ottinger, in that game. Outstanding. So I think you've got to keep giving him the opportunity as much as possible in between the pipes if you're Rick Bonus for this Dallas Stars team. All right, final game, Anaheim, Los Angeles, freeway faceoff, if you will. LA -120 to -130, home favorites here, 5.5 the total in this game. Certainly, look, Anaheim LA last year was just, a shit show. Nobody wanted any part of watching these two teams go head to head. But Kings now are starting to get a little more speed, a little more exciting team to watch. And certainly the Anaheim Ducks have been that way this year with the emergence of Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry. And look out for Jamie Drysdale, who's going to be outstanding on the blue line for a long time for this Anaheim Ducks. This is an exciting team to watch, believe it or not. It's true. I've seen now Anaheim play a bunch of games this year. I've watched them a lot. They've got way more team speed. They've got way more of a transition game and a rush chance sort of game than they've ever had before. It was never that way. You go back way back, even when Randy Carlyle was coaching the Ducks to the championship, they played that heavy style, just muck and grind, and just basically, cycle the puck in the offensive zone. Not a lot of creativity, greasy goals, garbage goals, play good defense, get great goaltending. Now you got these guys that can make plays with the puck, great passers, great vision on the ice, outstanding upside and ability and skill. That's not been a product of the Anaheim Ducks in years past, but they've got more of that this year with this group. And they are struggling a little bit coming into this game, 1-4 in their last 5 games. Bit of a downward trajectory for them a little bit, but you look at the losses. One was Carolina, one was Colorado, one was Toronto in their last game on Sunday night. There's really no shame in any of those losses, to be honest with you, against teams of that caliber. It's a tricky game for me. I mean, LA had lost 5 in a row. They finally get off the schneid. They beat Ottawa 4-2, although Ottawa's not exactly playing good hockey. They've been kind of a mess since returning from their COVID pause. The effort's been there, but the defense and the goaltending hasn't been. We talked last week, DJ Smith was saying, can I get a save? He was going the John Tortorella route with his goaltending in Ottawa. So I don't know if you want to get too excited that the LA Kings snapped their losing streak against the Ottawa Senators. I think at this price, I could only back Anaheim here in this one at a small road underdog price. I haven't made up my mind whether I'm going to, but would certainly lean Anaheim here at a small plus price in this one. No opinion on the total either way. Alex, what do you think here? Ducks, Kings?
Yeah, I took a shot here with Anaheim plus the $1.10. Like I said, LA is just in poor form right now. And said you can't put much stock at all into them beating Ottawa to end that streak. You said the way that Ottawa has been playing right now. You know, Anaheim's a much better team than we thought, honestly. Like, you know, we thought they were going to be one of the doormats of the league. But they, like I said, that young talent starting to blossom. Gibson, when he's on, he's one of the best in the world. He's still just kind of just, you know, mid-range right now. But Anthony Stolarz, who could, you know, and that's the thing, we haven't seen the confirmation yet, because he, you know, they play tomorrow in Vegas. So we might see a Stolarz sighting. He's actually been really good as a backup. He's beaten me a couple times where I kind of, you know, had ridden this guy off, but I had to bump his ratings up a little bit. He's become one of the more formidable backups in the league right now. So even if it is a Stolarz start tonight and then a Gibson start tomorrow in Vegas, I still feel comfortable with Anaheim getting the win here in what's a heated rivalry.
All right, Alex, like an Anaheim here, you can get them around plus 110 in this game right now in L.A. And by the way, because he's only been called up to the team recently for the L.A. Kings, you know, you may not see a situation where he's going to be listed on the player props right away. But keep an eye on this. And he shot the puck a ton in the game against Toronto and even in the Ottawa game as well. Sean Durzi, the defenseman here for the L.A. Kings. I mean, someone to keep an eye on. He's an offensive dynamo from the blue line, moves the puck well, has a good shot from the point, and we already saw him score a goal since being called up to the LA Kings. So there's someone to keep an eye on here in terms of props moving forward. I'm looking at a few books. There's not many that have him listed. So, and again, sometimes it takes a couple games of them being in the lineup for that to happen. But moving forward, Sean Durzi player props for the Kings might be something to look at going forward. Jimmy, any thoughts here? Anaheim, LA.
This is a Jimmy Pass, guys.
All right, there it is. Nice and short and sweet right there. Jimmy Pass for Jimmy with the Ducks and the Kings. All right, great stuff. Great show breaking down the Tuesday NHL card. Thanks to everyone for joining us live on YouTube and those that download and listen to the podcast as well. We thank you for joining us here on the Ice, guys. We'll wrap up now with Best Bets, as we always do. Alex, we'll start with you. What do you like for Best Bet?
Let's head out to St. Paul. We'll go with the Coyotes and Wild first period over minus $1.15. My best bet tonight.
All right. Arizona, Minnesota over 1.5 minus 115 in the first period. Best bet for Alex B. Smith. Jimmy, what do you like for best bet?
Like I said, guys, don't ever call me a homer. Give me that best bet being the Detroit Red Wings, big underdogs on the road in Boston.
All right. A big dog with the Detroit Red Wings plus 190. Best bet for Jimmy Murphy, Red Wings to get the upset against the Boston Bruins tonight, the beleaguered a little bit Boston Bruins, missing Marchand, and of course what's going on with DeBrusk with the trade rumors flying. So Detroit plus 190 for Jimmy with his best bet. My best bet for this card tonight, oh boy, it's an interesting decision, but I'm going to roll with Alex did the first period over. I'm going to do the full game over with Arizona and Minnesota over 5.5 minus 125. You know what? Actually, I'm gonna make it the combo bet. Give me that I love that combo bet. Yeah. I mean, thank you, Michael, for mentioning that to me. I mean, to me, Minnesota's winning this hockey game. I'd be shocked beyond belief. And back to back on the road after they gutted that one out against Winnipeg. That Arizona's gonna have anything in the tank tonight. We know Minnesota's been an over machine, 8-1 to the over at home. I think it sets up great for Minnesota. They played good hockey all season on home ice. Minnesota to win and over 5.5 plus 120 is the price on that. That is an outstanding price. That's what we're going to go with for best bet. The combo bet right there, Minnesota Wild to win and over 5.5 against Arizona plus 120. That is going to be my best bet for this Tuesday NHL card. All right, that'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys. We thank everybody in the chat for joining us. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. Download the Ice Guys podcast whenever you can't watch the show live. For Alex B. Smith and Jimmy Murphy, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Tuesday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow on Wednesday for another edition of the Ice Guys presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.